RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Hour number two already on a Sunday morning. Let's go down Port O'Connor Way or George West, wherever Lynn's at this morning, and let's talk some deer this morning. Lynn, what's up?
Well, did that get your blood pumping, that picture?
Yeah, that was, my gosh. I don't know what I could pull it. You talk about buck fever. Drawing down on one like that. Man, what a deer that woman killed. Jesus.
Isn't that pretty? Yeah, that for non-typical. I mean, as a non-typical buck, but, yeah, 216 and 2/8.
Looked typical for me, I can tell you that.
Oh, that's a pretty look at the brow tines on that deer.
I'm telling you, man.
I love tall brow tines, and that deer's got them. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What
How wide was that buck?
I don't know, but he's a hoss, I guarantee you that.
Yeah,
but, he's definitely a hoss. Oh, man. Yeah, what a deer. That ought to get your blood pumping.
That'll do it.
When you heading south?
Christmas morning.
Christmas morning, now.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You probably won't sleep between now and then.
It's kind of getting like that.
Yep. I can imagine. Well, it's on, you know, the rut's on, and those big bucks are showing up, and it's happening. You start to see deer like that that they never see, you know. They just show up, pop up out of nowhere.
Well, it's in their blood, man. Nature calls, they're coming out, and the ladies are getting right for them.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. You know, I had a lot of customers ask me, and a lot of people ask me, how long do the deer live, you know? And a lot of people say, well, they normal lifespan, you know, 7 or 8 years or whatever.
Yeah, it depends on which ranch they're on.
That's
when,
true.
When
that's
they
true.
Start shooting them, man.
That's true. Well, you know, a friend of mine is he and his wife they train labs and everything, and they go to several of these ranches and they work them and they have field trials and such as that. Well, one of the ranches they go to, they were telling me that one of the ranches, this place where they go, they had a fawn had wandered up a abandoned fawn years ago, and this woman at the ranch bottle fed it, which they shouldn't have. I mean, you know, they're not supposed to, but she bottle fed this little baby fawn. Well, it just stayed there at the ranch.
Yeah, I mean, and, it was without his mom. I mean, it was
right.
Looking for help.
Oh, sure. And so they bottle fed it. Well, the little fawn grew up and just hung around right there at the ranch. And about a year later, she had a baby. Well, that fawn was like a pet dog, you know, and
right.
It would come when the weather got cold, she'd wander right into the house and lay down by the fireplace, you know.
Wow.
And everything just like that. And said when she got tired of the bucks chasing her, she'd go lay down in one of the kennels out there.
Right.
Because they had all these kennels, you know, for the dogs and stuff. And she'd just go lay down in one of the kennels to get away from the bucks. And she's still there today. And every year she has a fawn, and said it's incredible. And that doe is 20 years old.
Come on.
20 years old. She showed me a video
of the doe. I didn't realize that. I didn't know they lived that long.
I didn't either.
You know, I always think 9, 10, 12 years max.
Me too. But the doe is 20, and she still, to this day,
has a fawn.
Yes, still breeding and has a fawn every year.
That's amazing.
It is. It is. It said she'll bring the fawn right into the house every winter. She'll walk right into the house with her fawn, and they'll lay down right by the fireplace.
That is nuts.
It is. Yeah, but 20 years old.
Well, look at Mansfield, man. They're like rats down there, pets. They just come up and eat out of your hand and everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We go out there and shoot Bambi.
I know it. Yeah. I tell my daughter that, you know. I'll say, well, I'm going down to the ranch and a deer hunt. She'll say, I don't like that. I don't like you doing that.
I know a lot of people don't like that. Go, how can you shoot such a beautiful animal?
Oh, I tell you, yeah. I tell you, yeah, it was something. But, boy, I think I would have shot that one that my friend's wife shot. Oh, that was a pretty deer.
There would have been no hesitation.
Man, oh, man, what a deer.
That's when that walks out, that's immediately get the gun out the window. You don't even have to look that over with binoculars. Just pull the trigger.
Yeah. You know, I told you about that one. I had that one hunter that got buck fever. I had never had a hunter get buck fever before like that. I had a hunter literally froze on me, and he just sat there looking through the
scope.
Just
couldn't pull the trigger? Just froze?
He could not do it. I mean, he just froze. Oh. And that buck was standing broadside about 125 yards. And I had my hands over my ears. I'm going, shoot him. Shoot. And that buck just stood there for about 10 seconds at least. And finally, the buck ran in the brush chasing a doe. And he finally just pulled his rifle in the blind. I said, why didn't you shoot? He said, I don't know, man. I had him twice. I could have shot him. And I just shook my head, you know. And the hunter was from Florida. Well, he had never seen a deer that big before, you know.
Right.
He had never seen one that big. Well, that morning I was out at the ranch there at the ranch house, and I was helping another guy clean a deer and skin a deer out. And this trophy hunter that on the ranch, he came out there and he said, hey, he said, was that deer a good one? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, he said, you think you'll score good? I said, you bet. And he said, well, I'm in a contest in Tyler, and if you think that deer will score, he said, I'd like to see if I could kill him. I said, okay. So I told him what I did and where the deer came out and all that. And I said, he'll be there tomorrow. I guarantee you. And I told him, I said, I'd take a tripod over there and told him where to put that tripod up. And he went over there that afternoon, put the tripod up. And the next morning he went in there and he got that deer. And the deer scored 178. And, he's a beauty. And his main beams were, they were 27 inches long.
Yeah.
His main beams. And he's a pretty deer, man. But that guy from Florida, he'd never seen a buck that big, you know, ever. I mean, down there, those deer, those bucks, they just aren't big, you know, in the Everglades, you know, they just nowhere near like that. So he just froze.
That's what blew my mind about that 6-point I shot a few years back at Blaine's.
Oh yeah.
The main beams, 27.5 on the left side, 27.75 on the right side, and 20.5 inches inside spread.
Oh yeah.
Boy, if that deer could have grown some G3s and G4s, that would have been a buck deer, man.
Oh, I'm telling you. You just better know it.
Wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, the main beams length, that really adds to points. I mean, you know, adds to the inches.
Yeah, and especially really if does. There's mass, and then you get to take your measurements, you know, at your G twos, threes, and fours all the way out. And, man, that adds up quick, more than you think.
It does. It does. You better know it. You bet. No, man, I tell you. I love it when those main beams come out, sweep around. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's pretty, so pretty cool deer. Looking.
That deer that I saw down there at George West the other day, the best deer I've ever seen on that ranch. He was like that. He had some big sweeping main beams and mass. He had the mass. He had the long tines. He had everything.
Wow.
Best deer I've seen on the ranch ever in over 20 years. Best deer I've ever seen. And, oh, man, took my breath away. He really did. And I didn't get to see him very long.
The thrill of the hunt.
I had a picture. Oh, well, I'm telling you.
You've seen him. Y'all know you got him now, so somebody needs to hunt that deer.
Oh,
Was it mature? I mean, age-wise?
Oh, yeah. That deer was, you know, 8 to 10 years old, probably. He was
big, heavy. Man.
Oh, big time. And his tines were massive, you know. I mean, they were not only tall, but they were thick, you know.
Yeah.
He just had the mass. He had a lot of mass to him.
And at the age that deer is, no telling what he was like when he was 6 or 7. He may have been even bigger.
Oh, could have been. Could have been. Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, he just, when he stepped out, I mean, it just, there was no doubt in my mind. I mean, you know, oh, boy. Yeah.
Wow.
I had a hunter with me, and I was looking down the Sendero with my spotting scope. And when he stepped out, he was right at, close to 300 yards, close to it. But I was looking at a couple other deer, and when he stepped out, and oh my goodness, I mean, he just, there was no doubt about him. Man,
dwarfed those other ones, I'm sure. You know, somebody hunts on y'all's ranch and somebody shoots a deer like that, what kind of price tag are you looking at dropping a
piece
like
know.
That?
I wouldn't know. I mean, they have the ranch leased now, it's leased.
Yeah.
And the hunters that have the ranch, they get one trophy, you know, a year.
I got you.
So they've got them regulated like that. So they make sure that it's a good one, you know. It's going to be a good one. So they want to make sure if they're going to drop the hammer on one, it's going to be a good one.
Right.
Oh, man.
Well, that sounds like a hammer dropper.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Jeez.
Whew.
Come on.
I think I might get a little buck fever if he steps out again.
Yeah, that's...
Man, oh, man.
Well, that's what we hunt for, you know, is to see things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have a desire to shoot a big buck anymore. I mean, you know, but just looking at them, seeing them, you know, that's what I'm there for, you know.
Yeah, the older I get, the more I appreciate the hunt, you know, take it all
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Watching animals.
Absolutely.
Characteristics and habits. And
yeah. But I enjoy being there with a hunter, you know, with a customer.
Right.
And putting him on a good deer. You know, I enjoy that. That, mm-hmm. to me, is satisfying. Pointing out the difference between a young deer and a big deer, older deer, you know, showing them the characteristics and, you know, what makes the difference between a 5-year-old deer and an 8-year-old deer, you know, that difference,
right.
You know, because I'll have people say, well, what's the difference between a young deer and a mature deer? I say, well, when a mature one walks out, there's no difference. I mean, a big difference. And when you'll see it, I guarantee you.
Yeah, you'll see the body. It looks like a stallion walking out there compared to the other.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on. I'll be right back at you, bud.
You betcha.
All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse. Croakers are located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's, from their tanks to your live well. That bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. check them out at the store. All their different size bottles they have to rig your boat the way you want. And their regulators, diffusers, they refill your bottles there at the store. And if you need more info, just call Jason Cogburn, 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their great prices on their seafood. Whether you're looking for wild-caught fresh Gulf shrimp, you know, the big 9-12s or 16-18 count, whatever you're looking for, they always have them. Great price, great selection. And whether you're looking for some, you know, number one crabs, you know, the grade A's or all of that, they have all that right there. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food. Whether you're wanting a shrimp poor boy, they even have a really good hamburger there. But check out their Cajun Grill next door or their food truck over in Santa Fe. They're both a big hit. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:19 as the clock turns. All right, Lynn, we're back.
You know, you always remember a certain buck that you've seen. You know, you never get it out of your mind. You know, some big deer. I'll never forget, man. I was guiding on a ranch out of Encinal one time, and it was a foggy morning. You know, kind of like this morning. And yeah. I was sitting in the stand with this customer, and you could barely see the feed pen. It was so foggy. And it got daylight. It just got daylight. And there was a buck came out on the back side of this feed pen. And when he broke through the fog on the back side of the feed pen, this buck stepped out of that fog. I went, oh, my God, look at this. He was about 28 to 29 inches wide.
Good Lord.
And he was only 9 points, but he was wide as you could see, and he was heavy horned, but yeah. But he only had 9 points. And my customer turned him down. I went, "You have got to be kidding me." I said, "Look at this deer."
I'll put nine pointer like that on the wall in a heartbeat, man.
Oh, absolutely. And I said, "Look at this deer." I said, "Look how wide he is." I said, "Oh, that's awesome. That's an awesome deer." The guy wanted a 10 point. He said, no, I want a 10. I went, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "That's a trophy like you wouldn't believe."
Oh, man. He's not a real deer hunter. Real deer hunter smoked that bug.
I'm telling you. Well, I came back to the ranch house after that guy turned him down, and I told one of my guide buddies about it. And, well, it was Ron Elkins. You know Ron.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Ron. And
I,
and
him,
I told Ron.
God rest his soul.
And I know. I know. And Ron and I were sharing a little cabin down there on that ranch. And I said, Ron, I said, you got to take your customer over there, man. This buck is about 28 or 29 inches wide, and he's a hoss, man. He took his customer over there. Sure enough, that buck came out, and his customer turned it down. Same thing. The guy wanted a 10-point or better. I said, what do you think, Ron? He said, oh, I just shot him in a heartbeat. I said, me too. I said,
now, points, he said, oh, my God. You know, to me, if the deer's got everything, the points don't matter.
No.
I mean, they do for scoring and all that, but, man, when you got a unique deer like that with that kind of width and mass and everything, what's 1 point?
Oh, I know. I know. It's just, I like those wide deer, you know. I love those wide ones.
But, yard rake.
Oh, my goodness.
I love them big yard rake looking. Man, they're awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But good grief, man. I couldn't believe that guy turned it down. He said, no, I want a 10-point. I want a 10. I went, oh, gosh. Man, oh, man. Yeah. Nah.
Amazing.
Well, maybe one will step out, you know. But that just broke my heart.
Did he ever shoot a deer?
Yeah, he did. He got a 10, but he
It wasn't
nothing
like that 9, though, was it?
No. I'd have shot that 9 in a minute, you know. Yeah. Yeah, that's always the case, you know. I mean, I had a guy that a management hunter that passed on an 8 that I tried to talk him into shooting, and the 8-point just kind of meandered off, just kind of walked off, you know. And I kept telling him, I said, "Man, you need to shoot that deer. That's a nice 8-point. That's a big 8." And he just kept saying, "Well, you think it is?" And he just wondering, you know, whether or not he should shoot it and all that. And finally, the deer just walked off. And the next day, another 8 came out, a different one, and he ended up shooting that one, which was still a good one. But I went down there and I lifted the deer's horns. I said, "Man, it's nice chocolate horned 8." And I said, "Is that the best deer you've ever killed?" He said, "It's the only deer I've ever killed." Well, I knew right then he didn't realize what he had passed up.
Yeah.
You know? The deer he passed up the day before was a better deer. And he just didn't realize it, you know. Didn't realize what he passed up.
I'm telling you.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's you need to listen to the guide, you know.
That's it.
If the guide tells you, shoot that deer, you better shoot it, you know. Oh, my goodness.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, you know, so he had never hunted. He wasn't, you know, he didn't know what he was looking at, and it
no
should have listened to you.
Yeah. If that deer a deer walks out and the guy's eyes get real big and says shoot, you better shoot. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've seen some beauties, man, that I'd have shot. But I've passed up a lot of deer. But I go out scouting on some of these, like the day before, we've got customers coming in. I go to some of these blinds that I want to look and see what's coming. And boy, I've seen some really nice deer. I had a 10-point come to one of the stands I was scouting, and he stood probably within 20 feet of the stand. Literally, I was looking down at him, and it was a big heavy horn 10, and he was raking his horns on the brush and scraping and making a scrape, and oh, he was doing everything right underneath the blind. And I said, oh my goodness, look at this. I took a picture of him. it was unreal. Yeah. And I thought, boy, if a customer wants a trophy, this was it. I mean, he was a beautiful deer. Big old neck on him. He was ready, boy. He was ready to rut, ready to chase does. But boy, howdy. Well,
I just got a text from a listener. This is a pretty good one. He's right, too. You know, these boutique deer ranches have got people messed up in the head.
Yep, that's true.
These high offenses, you know, just it's like shopping for a car. I mean, what color you want and how many horsepower? Yeah. what's the deal here? And low fence hunting is not like that. That's real wild hunting.
Well, that's right. This deer that we had on the ranch that I had seen 3 years in a row, and this guy finally got it was hell of a deer. I've got a reproduction of him hanging in my house because I saw this deer 3 years in a row, and the guy that got him, he was just beside himself because the deer is. Well, it was the third largest Boone and Crockett buck killed in Texas that year, man. 2012. And it was only 3 inches difference between him and number one. And anyway, about a week later, he was invited to go to a high fence ranch. And he killed a deer that scored over 200. And then he came back to hunt with us a couple of weeks later. And he told me, he said, I didn't even get excited shooting that over 200 class deer, because he said, hunting here on the low fence, he said, this is the deal. This is the real deal. He said, yes. Boy, shooting a really good buck on a low fence ranch, he said, this is the real deal.
That's the ultimate.
It is. And, we had that one buck, he was in the middle of the ranch, and, you know, they only go just so far and they're in rut. You think that they're going to, leave the ranch. They don't, they just stay in the middle. I mean, they would go, that buck would go between two or three stands.
Right.
He wouldn't go very far. I mean, he's chasing a doe. He's chasing certain doe or whatever, and he would run. We'd had him on trail cameras between two or three stands.
Right.
But he'd make a big loop chasing a doe.
Well, you know, those does, they're territorial too. They have their own areas they like to stay in and they feel comfortable in. And naturally, when they're in heat and a buck's on them, they're going to stay within their boundaries most of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's right. That's exactly right. Oh, that doe that was 20 years old or is 20 years old.
Right.
When the bucks start chasing her and she gets tired, they said that she just goes into one of those dog kennels and lays down and get away from them. Yeah.
Well, we've all seen that game before.
Haven't we? Yeah. Oh, God, that's funny.
Yeah, 20-year-old doe. That's amazing. I had no idea.
I hadn't either. She showed me a video.
Of course, deer guru or anything, or biologist or anything, but 20 years old, that's old for a deer, I would think.
Oh, man, I would too. I couldn't believe it. She showed me a video of the doe, and she doesn't look really, bad. She doesn't look bad or anything. She just, looks like a normal doe. Just walking around. There was a black lab right there with her, just walking around like an old buddy,
Yeah, I've seen videos of, like a Labrador laying down next to a deer, like they're running buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, they get used to them. And yeah. They're just like old buddies.
Family.
But, yeah, exactly.
Kind of like cats and dogs laying down together,
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, they can be pets. I guarantee you they can.
Yeah.
But I tell you what was funny. I was invited to go shoot in a sporting clay shoot.
Right.
And last year. And I said, man, I haven't shot years and years. This guy, this attorney out of Victoria, he said, oh, come on, man. He said, come shoot with us. Just be a fun deal. So I went. Well, we're walking this course, and I noticed – on the way to the course, they had an area taped off with yellow tape, about a 10 or 12 foot area around this tree. And I thought, well, that's strange. I wonder what the deal is. Well, there was a little fawn laying there. I mean, a real young spotted fawn laying there.
Right, by itself.
And by itself. The doe was gone off. And they had it taped off so nobody would mess with the fawn.
Huh.
And she was that little fawn was just curled up, laying there in the grass. And she just laid there through the whole tournament. Everybody shooting guns all around her. And she just laid there. And I guess when the tournament was over, her mother probably came back and got her.
Huh.
Yeah. But that was interesting.
All right. Well, let me knock this break out. We'll come back and we'll talk about Richard Fish Dude sent me a video of his cousin videotaping like five coyotes trying to kill a deer, and the deer's in the pond trying to get away from them. You know, people don't realize how many deer are taken, especially fawns and things like that, from predators to coyotes.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
It is bad when you got too many of them. All right, Lynn, I'll be right back at you, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, 537. All right, Lynn.
Yeah, talk about how bad the cows are about getting after the fawns and everything. People don't realize just how bad they are on the fawns, and not just fawns, but deer in general.
Yes.
I mean, you know, a friend of mine, we were hunting on that ranch in George West, and he had a customer sitting in the stand with him, and it was a ground blind, and he heard this big commotion behind him, and man, he got out of the blind, and it was about 30 yards behind him, and he got out of the blind and ran back in that brush, and there were five coyotes, had a spike buck cornered,
right,
and they were fixing to pull down that spike.
Oh.
And man, they were getting after him. So, I mean, you know, they're like a pack of wolves. I mean, you know, they're pretty vicious.
Yeah, they are.
And
that's how they make their living.
You better know it. And
survival.
This buddy of mine has that ranch between Freer and Cotulla. He told me earlier this year, he said, man, he said, I'm getting overrun with coyotes and bobcats. He said, I was shredding. And he said, I saw a lot of bobcats and a lot of coyotes. He said, young coyotes and everything. He said, they're going to be getting pretty old here during hunting season. So he said, I need to come down here and shoot some of these coyotes. I said, yeah. He knows that I like hunting those coyotes. I like hunting the predators. So yeah. I said, well, I'll be ready. Well, he finally decided he was going to call in a professional trapper. And he got this trapper down there. And trapper came in and set some traps, and he caught like 30 some odd bobcats and 40 some odd coyotes.
My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, that
and
is.
And I mean, that was in a short time, short period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew the bobcats.
That just tells you how many are there, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew they were bad because. I'd sit in the stand and turn on my predator call, just the cottontail, you know, screaming cottontail
right.
call. And the bobcats would come running. Just come running to it. You know, from different directions.
Yeah.
And what was funny is they'd run right up to the deer stand and stand underneath the deer stand and look up at you. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I went down to Toys R Us one time, and I bought a stuffed rabbit, and I set that stuffed rabbit out, and I used that as a decoy. Well, the ranch manager, he got him one, and he stuck it out there in front of the blind one day, and he turned his predator call on. Boy, and here came this bobcat running, and it got close by 10 feet from that rabbit and started sneaking up to that stuffed rabbit.
Wow.
And it snuck up to that stuffed rabbit and walked up to that stuffed rabbit and licked it. And licked it.
Licked it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me, man, he pounced on it.
No, he just walked up and licked it and then looked around like, did anybody see that? Yeah.
Like, am I still doing something? I got fooled by the best.
He said, I didn't have a heart to shoot him after that. But I had one come running to me one day. I mean, I bet that rabbit came from 300 yards. I mean, that bobcat, he came running from about 300 yards straight to the blind and ran right up to the blind and stood within probably 20 feet of my blind or less and just stopped and was looking around like, where's the rabbit? Yep. Like Elmer Fudd, you know, where's the wabbit?
You know, it's amazing how these animals, even deer, you know, like when you're rattling or, you know, maybe getting a doe bleat call or something like that, they'll come right to it. It's like they lock it in from wherever they're at, and they come exactly to where that noise came from. Isn't that amazing?
Right to the sound. Right to the sound. It is amazing.
I've got an unbelievable sensory.
I stood up and leaned out the window of the blind and took a picture of him straight down, and he was standing there looking around, looking for the rabbit. And I took a picture of him. I mean, nature's funny. Yeah, they are funny. And there again, I didn't have the heart to shoot him. I just took his picture.
Man.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's really funny, but funny watching them. And I had, One day, I called in a badger with my call, and this badger came to it. And I told that hunter, I said, there's a badger. I said, shoot that badger. Boy, he shot that badger. And then he turned to me, big smile came on his face. He said, I've always wanted a badger. I said, well, you got one.
You got one now. And, you know, I've seen some really cool badger mounts.
Yeah. He had his mounted too, and there are some good ones. Well, there at the ranch at George West, they've got one mounted on a log, you know, and they've got him on a coffee table, and it's a neat mount. They're not a big animal, you know. Some people think they're big; they're not very big, and but they're a vicious little animal. I guarantee you that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to get it. I wouldn't want to get in a fight with one. I guarantee.
No, I don't think I'd want to. End up my phone booth with a badger.
No. I saw something on Facebook the other day. Some guy was petting and scratching a wolverine. And I thought, good grief, that'd be the last thing I'd want to buddy up to is a wolverine.
Man.
I didn't realize they're as big as they are.
Yeah, Wolverines are a lot bigger than a badger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one's pretty good size. And you talk about vicious. That baby is vicious.
Yeah,
I'm glad we don't have them. I'm glad we don't have them down here.
That's dynamite in a small package right there, buddy.
Yes, sir. I guarantee you.
What are you going to do for Christmas this year?
I'm just going to hang around here.
Chill out in POC?
That's it. Probably go fishing. Looks like the weather will be decent. I'll go fishing.
Yeah, it's looking like fishing weather all the way through the holidays.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So I'll probably go maybe make a wade and catch some trout. Probably do that.
That probably won't be too hard to do.
No, probably not.
Y'all's fishing down there has been pretty good this year. It's coming back really good, man.
Yeah, it is. Let's don't say that too loud because, we just don't need a freeze,
No, we'll leave the F word out of it. I don't like hearing anything about the H word or the F word. Jeez.
No.
Boy, we got lucky this year, didn't we, on hurricanes? How about that?
Can you believe that? Can you believe we didn't have one in the Gulf? That's amazing.
It is. I can't recall the last time that's happened.
Oh, man.
I'm sure it has, but I can't recall.
No. I can't either. It doesn't hurt my feelings any.
No.
And you kind of hold your breath, all through September. Kind of hold our breath, but keep your fingers crossed. Fingers and toes crossed.
About the middle of August till mid-October, I'm gun-shy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we don't need that storm. No way.
What kind of gear are you fishing with these days? What kind of reels and rods do you use?
I'm throwing a Laguna rod, and I use Laguna rods, and I'm throwing a Luz reel,
right.
the Tournament Light Luz,
right.
is what I'm throwing, and I'm using braid. I throw braid, and I was surprised when I was down in Florida. Fishing with Ward Michaels. Ward doesn't use braid, and that really surprised me because I lost.
Man, I don't use
snook.
It much since I don't fish tournaments anymore. I don't use much braid anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my topwater rod, I keep braid on it naturally for that.
Yeah.
And for redfish out of the boat and all that stuff, but. As far as trout fishing, I've been back on mono a long time now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well,
it just when our trout gets so funny and finicky and everything, and the mono I use doesn't have a lot of stretch to it anyway, but still, I'm able to kind of simplify things, tone it down a little bit, and not overwork my lure as much.
Right.
When using these, and plus I cast a lot of 16th and 8th ounce size jig heads even out of the boat,
right,
where I can slow it down and stay in the strike zone longer, and mono will throw those light lures a lot farther than braid, because a lot of times with braid you're trying to get that distance, and with something that light on there, boy, you overcook it, and then here we go, you got problems.
Yeah. What pound mono are you throwing?
12.
12. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually if I throw mono, I'm throwing 10 usually.
Right.
Yeah. I throw 10, but I backed off of 12. Now on spinning reels, I do, I have 12 on spinning reels.
Yeah.
12 pound mono. Yeah. But for customers. But, I was surprised down there in Florida. Ward, he uses mono, and he'll throw. I think he's using 12-pound mono on those snook. I believe that's what he's throwing, which surprised me. maybe he's throwing heavier. He probably is throwing heavier. But I was down there 1 year, and I had mono on. I lost the biggest snook I'd ever hooked. But and the reason that I lost it was I was throwing a rattle trap, and I hooked that snook, it was well over 30 inches, but
right.
It went across a sandbar, the tip of a sandbar, and it rubbed that mono across that sandbar and cut me off.
Oh man!
It went into deeper water, but it came up one time. I got one good jump out of that snook, and she was a pig, boy. And then she went across that sandbar, but she was a good one. Ward was standing right beside me, and she came up shaking. He said, "Oh, she's well over 30." And I said, "Oh, good one." You know, yeah, that makes you hold your breath because I knew what she was going to do. She headed toward that deeper water, and then she went over that sandbar, and I was done. You know, she cut me off. But, man, that was a good snook. That was a good one.
Yeah.
But I did catch them down there. I caught them up to 25 pounds, which is still a good snook.
You think?
You know?
That's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
25-pound snook.
Yeah.
I caught a big one in Florida one time. I can't remember whether we were in Clearwater or I don't remember. Maybe Punta Gorda. But I think it was Clearwater, and Blaine and I were just pre-fishing, and we tried this. There's so many no-wake zones down there, and when you're having to change bays and do other things, you have to do a lot of idling, and we're idling by this big old giant cove, and I seen a few mullet jumping in there. I said, man, there's some bait in that place, and it bordered a golf course, and that was pretty cool, and we got up in there and started fishing it and learning more about it, and actually we were catching some nice reds in there for the tournament. That's what ended up saving us in that tournament, that one little cove. It caught my eye because it was, you know, a golf course, a couple of tee boxes bordered up to it. But we're in there during the tournament, I think on Friday, we eased up in there and we're fishing those mangroves, throwing topwaters up under in there and then working them back out. And man, I got this smoking blow up. There was four guys on a tee box waiting to tee off. And when they heard that blow up, they all looked over there and started yelling. They knew what that sound was. I mean, tell they were fishermen too. But it was a giant snook. And I caught it and had to let it go. But boy, what a beautiful fish that was. Caught it on a Top Dog Junior.
Oh, man. I tell you, when a snook hits the top water, there's no doubt what it is. I mean, it's like you flush a toilet. You know?
Oh, it's definitely a different sound.
Man. Oh, I had a
such
big
a good snook. Good battle, you know, such a good fight.
Oh, they are. They're beautiful fish. I mean, they really are.
It's like a souped-up trout. They got the power of a red and the pull of a red, and then the acrobatic. You know, they're real acrobatic and head shaky like a trout is. It's an awesome battle, you know, on a big fish like that. It's fun.
It is. I love catching them. There's something else. I mean, they're such a pretty fish, you know.
Glad we don't have one like that here in Galveston. That's all I'd fish for.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I try to go down there at least once a year, you know,
right,
to Florida and fish for them. And, you know, it seems like every time I've gone down there, we catch them on something different. You know, sometimes we catch them on worms. Sometimes we catch them on topwaters, rattle traps, you name it. It's always something different. But we catch them, and then we have problems, of course, with the sharks. You know, the sharks eat them. Get in the areas and hook some good snook, and before you get them in, the sharks cut them in half. You know, and the problem is there's a lot of bull sharks, a lot of these bulls down there, and they're following those snooks too. And went to one spot, and we pulled up to this one spot to jump out of the boat, and I jumped out of the boat, and Ward says, "Hey, don't get over knee deep here." I said, "Big ones?" He said, "Biggest bull sharks I've ever seen."
Oh, boy.
I said, "Okay."
Yeah, if you're going to get attacked by a bull shark, would you rather be in knee deep water or chest deep water?
Oh, God.
I'll stay in knee-deep water. I'll take my chances shallow. They can work for me. I got a text from a listener. John Summer sent me he said he had 13 to 14 does this year that he could see that most of them were pregnant. And he said only one fawn survived. He said he put up a blind and got some fake coyotes to put in the pasture. And he fired off the collar and they have never showed up, even though I could hear the pack howling just a few hundred yards away. He said, I really need to get rid of them. Is there a trick? Well, going to have to hunt them, you know, use a recorder like you do.
Yeah.
That's the best way I've seen it so far. Yeah.
And some days it works and some days it doesn't. You know? I mean, some days I'll have them run from 300 or 400 yards. Coyotes will come running to it. And the next day, it doesn't work at all. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that pack had already fed out. They'd already killed something and fed down on it, and they were full.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I had one day, I was ready to leave the blind. I'd been hunting, you know, deer hunting, and I was ready to leave the blind. I thought, well, I'll just turn my game collar on. So I turned it on, stuck it out the window and turned it on. And I mean, here came one running from about 300 yards wide open.
Oh, man.
And before I could put the call down and grab my rifle, he ran past the blind. he ran past the blind and ran past me and went about another 50 yards behind me and went in the brush. And I went, well, darn, I mean, I missed my chance. Well, I waited a little bit and I saw him come back behind me. He was trying to win me. And I turned the call back on. Well, he came behind me and came around, and then he made a circle behind me trying to win me.
Yeah.
And then he made a bad mistake, and he came back out of, you know, into the Sendero and stopped about 75 yards out there and looked back at the blind. Well,
that was a bad
mistake. That was a bad
biggest mistake he ever made. Not anymore.
Yeah.
All right, no. Captain Lynn. It's always fun. I want to wish you and your family, everybody, a Merry Christmas down there, and I'll talk to you next year.
Well, you too, and I want to wish you a merry one, and definitely get you a big one down there, man.
I'm gonna try. I'm going. You can't kill them in the recliner, man. You got to go.
That's
but
it.
Anyway,
you got it.
All right, Lynn.
Watch the buzzworms. Watch the buzzworms.
I will. I got me a new pair of snake boots. I'm gonna be breaking in.
All right. What kind did you get?
Twisted X, baby.
All right, that's what I wear. Yeah.
They are comfortable. It's just hard getting them on and off till I get them stretched out, man. My instep's so big, but boy, once I get my foot in them, oh, Lord.
They're comfortable. They are.
All right,
nice.
Buddy. Lynn, Merry Christmas. Talk to you next year. Be safe out there, buddy.
All right, man. Merry Christmas to you. You have a good one. Be careful.
Later. See you.
Bye.
All right, that's Captain Lynn Smith in Port O'Connor. Time for our top of the hour break and national anthem. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.